It was amazing how far public opinion had moved in just 2 years as Watergate unfolded. McGovern lost Texas 67-33%, a slightly better showing than he made in Arkansas, where only 31% of the voters supported him. After the election, I stayed around a few days to thank people and wrap things up. Then Hillary and I went back to Yale, after a brief vacation in Zihuatanejo on Mexico's Pacific coast. It's built up now, but then it was still a little Mexican hamlet with bumpy, unpaved streets, open bars, and tropical birds in the trees. One day after my class in corporate tax, Professor Marvin Cherlstein asked me what I was going to do when I graduated. I told him I was going home to Arkansas and supposed I would just hang up a shingle on my own, since I had no job offers. He said there was a sudden, unexpected vacancy on the faculty at the University of Arkansas Law School at Fayetteville. He suggested that I apply for the position and volunteered to recommend me. It had never occurred to me that I could or should get a teaching job, but I was intrigued by the idea. A few days later, in late March, I drove home for Easter break. When I got to Little Rock, I pulled off the highway, went to a payphone, called the law school dean, Wiley Davis, introduced myself, told him what I'd heard about the vacancy, and said I'd like to apply. He said I was too young and inexperienced. I laughed and told him I'd been hearing that for years. But if he was hard up, I'd be good for him, because I'd work hard and teach any courses he wanted. Besides, I wouldn't have tenure, so he could fire me at any time. He chuckled and invited me to Fayetteville for an interview, and I flew there in the first week of May. The interviews went well, and on May the 12th, I got a letter from Dean Davis offering me a position as an assistant professor at a salary of $14,706 a year. Hillary was all for it, and 10 days later, I accepted. I left Fayetteville for a few days over Thanksgiving to visit Hillary in Cambridge, where she was working for the Children's Defense Fund. She and I didn't resolve our situation, but she did agree to come visit me over the Christmas holidays. I loved her and wanted to be with her, but I understood her reservations. I was passionate and driven, and nothing in my background indicated I knew what a stable marriage was all about. She knew that being married to me would be a high-wire operation in more ways than one. Also, Arkansas must still have seemed an alien place for her to settle, though she no longer felt it was the other side of the moon, and I wasn't sure it was right for her. I still thought she should have her own political career. At that point in my life, I thought that work was more important than having a personal life. I had met many of the ablest people of my generation, and I thought Hillary was head and shoulders above them all in political potential. She had a big brain, a good heart, better organizational skills than I did, and political skills that were nearly as good as mine. I just had more experience. I loved her enough both to want her and to want the best for her. It was a high-class dilemma. When I got back to Arkansas, political talk had begun in earnest. Like Democrats everywhere, our people were stirred up by Senator Sam Ervin's Watergate hearings and the continuation of the war. It appeared that we would have a chance to make some gains in the midterm congressional elections, especially after the price of oil shot up and gasoline began to be rationed. However, the local Democrats did not believe the prospects of unseating our congressman, John Paul Hammersmith, were very good. Hammersmith had a very conservative voting record and was a strong defender of President Nixon, but he was popular because he came home every weekend and had a good casework operation. I talked to several people that fall about whether they would be interested in running against him. Everyone thought the race needed to be made, but no one wanted to make it. It seemed too unwinnable. As it became clear that no one in our area who could run a strong race was willing to do it, I began to think about running myself. It seemed absurd on the face of it. I had been home only 6 months after 9 years away. I was just 3 months into my new job. I had no contacts in most of the district. On the other hand, Fayetteville, with its students and liberal Democrats, was not a bad place to start. Hot Springs, where I grew up, was the biggest town in the south end of the district. And Yale County, where the Clintons were from, was part of it too. All told, I had relatives in 5 of the district's 21 counties. I was young, single, and willing to work all hours of the day and night. And even if I didn't win, if I made a good showing, I didn't think it would hurt me in any future campaigns I might undertake. Of course, if I got waxed, my long, hoped-for political career could be over before it began. I had a lot to think about when Hillary came to visit me shortly after Christmas. We were talking it over in my house one morning in early January when the phone rang. It was John Doerr, who had been a high-ranking official in the Kennedy Justice Department working for civil rights, and whom Hillary and I had met at Yale. John told me he had just agreed to become the chief counsel for the House Judiciary Committee's inquiry into whether President Nixon should be impeached, and that Burke Marshall, another former Kennedy justice official and professor at Yale, had recommended me to him. Doerr wanted me to take a leave of absence from the law school, come to work, and help him recruit some other good young lawyers. I told him I was thinking about running for Congress, but I'd consider the offer and call him back the next day. By the time I called John back, I had made up my mind to run. I thanked him for the offer, but declined. I spent the next 10 months traveling the district, talking to as many people as possible, and campaigning as hard as I could. During this hectic period, two major events occurred. The first was personal. After a long battle with diabetes, my mother's third husband, Jeff Dwyer, died suddenly. He was only 48 years old. The second was of national importance. On August the 8th, President Nixon, his presidency doomed by the tapes he kept of his conversations with aides, announced his intention of resigning the following day. I thought the president's decision was good for our country, but bad for my campaign. Just a couple of days before the announcement, Congressman Hammersmith had defended Nixon and criticized the Watergate investigation in a front-page interview in the Arkansas Gazette. My campaign had been gaining momentum, but with the albatross of Nixon lifted from Hammersmith's shoulders, you could feel the air go out of it. I got a second wind when Hillary called me a few days later to tell me she was coming to Arkansas. Her friend Sarah Ehrman was driving her. Sarah was more than 20 years older than Hillary and had seen in her the full promise of the new opportunities open to women. She thought Hillary was nuts to be coming to Arkansas, so she took her own good time getting Hillary to her destination, all the while trying to change her mind every few miles or so. When they finally got to Fayetteville, it was Saturday night. I was at a rally in nearby Bentonville, not far north, so they drove up to meet me. I tried to give a good speech, as much for Hillary and Sarah as for the crowd. After I shook hands, we went back to Fayetteville and our future. On Election Day, I thought we might win. As we gathered in my headquarters to watch the returns, we were nervous but hopeful. We led in the vote count until nearly midnight because the largest and most Republican county, Sebastian, reported late. I carried 12 of the 15 counties with fewer than 8,000 total votes, but I lost 5 of the 6 biggest counties, suffering narrow defeats of fewer than 500 votes each in Garland County, where I grew up, and Washington County, where I lived, and getting killed in Benton and Sebastian counties, where my combined losses were twice the total margin of Hammersmith's victory. We each won one county by about 2-1. He won Sebastian County, the biggest, and I won Perry County, the smallest. It seems ironic now when rural Americans vote overwhelmingly Republican in national elections that I began my political career with a profoundly rural base, born of intense personal contact and responsiveness both to their resentments and real problems. I was on their side, and they knew it. The final vote was 89,324 to 83,030, about 52-48%. The Democrats had a good night nationally, picking up 49 House seats and 4 seats in the Senate, but we just couldn't overcome Hammersmith's enormous popularity and his last-minute push. When the campaign began, his approval rating was at 85%. I had whittled it down to 69%, while mine had gone from 0 to 66%. Very good, but not good enough. Everybody said I had made a good showing and had a bright future. That was nice to hear, but I'd wanted to win. I was proud of our campaign, and I felt that somehow I had let the steam go out of it in the last few days, and in so doing, let down all the people who'd worked so hard for me and the changes we wanted to make. Maybe if I'd had the money and the sense to run effective television ads on the congressman's voting record, it would have made a difference. Probably not. Nevertheless, in 1974, I saw firsthand in thousands of encounters that middle-class voters would support government activism to solve their problems and those of the poor, but only if the effort was made with due care for their tax dollars and if efforts to increase opportunity were coupled with an insistence on responsibility. As a man who worked on the Scott County road crew said, people need a hand up, not a hand out.